Well, friends, it's a little late here. I've been hoping all evening to be able to talk to you about these things, but it's been one thing after another. Let's see if we can do a little bit now. It's just about midnight here, and we'll see how far we can go with this. Maybe up to that point. Something like that, perhaps. We're not going to be able to do a great deal tonight, I think. Webinars in the morning, you know? Okay. Well, that's a long one. So what does it say? Starting from page 19, the ray of the personality. We have somewhat dealt with the first factor, the egoic ray, in determining the method of meditation. I wonder if we sometimes realize just how arcane is what he's speaking of. We have a condition of being used to what he's saying, and that accustoms us to material that most people would say, what? Okay, but here we are. Today we might take up the function of the personality ray in determining this method. As you know, the personality ray is ever a subray. I think that's an important article because it's not the only one. There is a kind of a subray of the soul on its own level. A subray of the spiritual ray. And he's calling the spiritual ray here the ray of the ego on its own plane, higher mental plane. So, the ray of the ego, yeah. The ray of the ego, or what can we call it? Call it soul, ego soul, but not the, well, the triadal ray in the right-hand column on page 177 is the same as the soul ray on the second and third subplanes of the higher mental plane. As you know, the personality ray is ever a subray of the spiritual ray. Okay. That is something we know, right? Well, we've been told, thus have I heard. And varies with greater frequency than the egoic ray. Egoic ray maybe twice, maybe one time in the entire span of evolution, or at the most two times. With evolved egos, such as may be contacted among the thinkers of the race and among the prominent workers in all departments of world work everywhere, the personality ray may vary from life to life, each life being based on a different note and demonstrating a different color. Okay. Now, shall we, you know, ring the changes in the diatonic scale? And we might, in this way, you know, I wonder how we could do it. Yeah, da, 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 da. That's seven. And that's the same as the bass note. So maybe like one way of doing it, 6, 1, 4, 3, 2, 5, 7. 6 again. There's a question about whether that C, being a red note, represents the first ray, or whether it represents the sixth ray. Now, Blavatsky is pretty much calling it a Mars note, but it definitely has a very powerful first ray. And musicians somehow know this when they run into that color red. So, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, red. That's one way of doing it. And then I just did the rays, didn't I? According to that, 6, 1, 4, 3, 5, nope, 2, 5, 7, 1. Okay. I think we have a lot to learn about which notes represent what rays and what astrological signs. You can work with the signs chromatically, very serpentine. Chromatic scale has a lot of the serpent in it. Or you can go by a circle of fifths. That'd be a D, and I won't go any higher for your sake and mine. But that's another way of looking at what notes represent what rays. Okay. So in this way, the causal body is more rapidly equipped because of all the changes in the personality ray, which gives various qualities to the egoic lotus causal body. When the reincarnating unit has reached a point where he can consciously choose his mode of expression, and let's just say this is not up to him in the very, very beginning, because he does not have enough experience. But more and more, that projection of the monad, which ultimately we call the soul in incarnation, no matter how vacuous at first, becomes more and more intelligent and perspectivized, as it were, and can participate with the angel of the presence in the choice of the next personality ray and the next kind of karma, the next path of life. When the reincarnating unit has reached a point where he can consciously choose his mode of expression, he will first review his past lives, and from the knowledge thereby gained, he will guide his choice for the next. And this is a really fascinating section here. I have little moths that made their way in. Okay, well, we're talking about, you know, incarnation, manifestation. Prior to incarnation, he will sound his egoic note, which will You know, and when we talk about a note, it is a note which is really a chord. And a chord has at least three notes in it. An interval, two notes, a chord, three or more. If I put my forearm down on the piano from C to higher C, even though the sound might not be so pleasant, it would be a chord. But two notes at a time is an interval. And one note is simply a unison. So prior to incarnation, he will sound his egoic note and will note the lack of fullness or the discord it may contain. He will then decide upon the note he will base his coming personality, which note he will then decide upon which note he will base his coming personality. I sometimes have fear and trembling over the thought that I may sound my note or chord before the next incarnation and then come up with a big seven vacuity. The seventh ray is missing. Okay, or maybe ray five. The ray test that I devised with the faithful help of Rick Good and others who really pitched in, Walter Pullen, many, many others in the early days. Well, that showed when I took it that five and seven were quite low. And maybe, you know, that's an indication of what will be missing in the egoic note when it is sounded. But we've all been on, well, let's say, you know, if we are, let's say we're initiates of the first degree somehow. And that means that we've all been on virtually all the personality rays, except maybe for the one that is the same as our soul ray. I don't know how often that takes place. The one example is the first ray soul and first ray personality after many combinations. You know, there's a 1-2 combination, and I think all of them, except by the time you reach 1-1, you're pretty highly developed. And you know, he says there will be balance because it'll be the first ray soul, first ray personality, fourth ray mind, second ray astral body, sixth ray physical body. I believe that's what he says. I may have the last two turned around, but it's in the discussion of the technique of integration for the first ray. So he's going to sound that note and try to fill it in, because we can't go with big, you know, we can't destroy the causal body before it's really fairly rounded out. We can't have big absences of quality there and say, okay, well, now I can destroy this. We have to have a reasonable amount of the ray qualities. And, you know, when you look at, if I can find it, maybe I don't find it. I'd like to find it. It would be maybe here, and it would be in Tuya's group of I'll put that over there. Sometimes you've got to do a little bit of rearranging. and look at the let's see, where was I? Oh yeah, here. Okay, I'm going to open this. And my hope is that it will show up. Yeah, it does. My hope is that it will show up, and it did. And here, you know, are different colored rays according to the colors, albeit they're rather static here, of the egoic lotus, just about ready to be, I mean, really opened fully and about ready to be disintegrated. So if I were to point here, here's the orange of ray 5, the green of ray 3, the violet of ray 7, the rose of ray 6, the indigo of ray 2, and again the light blue of ray 6. Ray 1, the red is not represented. I don't know what will take its place. Would it be the light blue? Because some in some lists in this book, Letters on Occult Meditation, Ray 1 is associated with the blue. And we, you know, we have our police force, the men in blue, at least in the United States, but no red in the petals per se, although there may be, for first ray souls, maybe a reddish tint. Another way of looking at it, though, but I don't think it's accurate, is that the indigo would represent ray 5, but that's the esoteric color, and it would come in too late because we do need some of the earlier indications of ray 5. There is some indigo in the third petal. But I think these are mostly the conventional colors associated with the rays. And one of them has to do double duty and include the first ray, I suppose. But no red, as far as we know. Rose color is substituted for red, but rose is much more a ray 6 color. This is more accurate than some of the other renderings in color of the egoic lotus, because another one has red color coming out of the petals. It apparently is just not the case. There are none that way. Anyway, going on. So prior to incarnation, he will sound his egoic note, a chord, and will note the lack of fullness or the discord. You have to tune it up to get rid of the discord. So maybe you need more experience on a certain ray, helping it attune with the other rays. It doesn't mean it's missing, it just means it's out of tune. And we know that the fourth ray, being the ray of mathematical exactitude, well, we know that an incorrect frequency can be problematic and will give us that sense of not quite in tune. It won't ring free in a chord or in an interval. So he will then decide upon which note he will base his coming personality vibration. And that assumes that, of course, he may consciously choose, which means he's a fairly advanced individual, because in the beginning you can't consciously choose. It's pretty much just up to the angel of the presence that I consider to be a projection of the solar angel. The angel of the presence occupying a place within the higher mental plane, and the solar angel really having its home upon the Buddhic plane, at least according to some of the charts that we have. Now, all of these are technicalities, but it's apparently how incarnation works. And maybe when, you know, you get to that point, you'll remember, oh, yes, I read that in Letters on Occult Meditation. Well, let's really listen carefully and see what's missing. I already think I know what's missing for myself, and maybe you know what's missing for yourself. The whole life, therefore, may be given over to the sounding of a particular note and to the stabilizing of one particular vibration. This note must be sounded and this vibration stabilized in diversity of circumstances. Well, you know, how much medicine do you have to take? How many teaspoonfuls over how long a period? Or do you have to take the tablespoon? Or do you have to take even more? Or do you just take it now and then? So the whole life may be given over to the sounding of a particular note. And, you know, much of it depends, too, upon the incarnation, rather the initiation that lies before you. Every true disciple is being prepared for an initiation. And, well, you know, the seventh ray rules the first initiation, sixth ray the second, fifth ray the third. Fourth ray the fourth initiation, and the first ray the fifth initiation. The third ray, the sixth initiation, the second ray, the seventh initiation. Gosh, so what's missing? Did I say seventh? The second, yeah, that's right. The third ray rules the sixth, the second ray rules the seventh initiation, and what would it be? What have I? Seven, six, five, four. It can't be. Yeah, four, fourth initiation. Three. Well, there's another way to do it. The third ray rules the sixth initiation, and then the second ray in the Sea of Fire rules that great love wisdom initiation of the logoic plane, the seventh. And other rays are involved too. So I think if you turn to page 340, you'll get the sense of what ray, that's in the book, The Rays and the Initiations, you'll get the sense of what rays are associated with which initiations. And I think the eighth initiation uses all the rays of attribute, and the ninth, all the rays of aspect. And of course, that's just words to us, but they are, of course, synthetic initiations. So going on, hence the necessity in the life of the aspirant or disciple for frequent change. So, you know, many personality rays. And not just one for a long period of time, though an artist, highly accomplished, may have a particular personality ray over a long period of time. Particular. Okay. So, hence the need for frequent change of personality rays, except, like I say, if you have, you know, some specialized work to do. And for artists, they may stay a long time on a particular ray, personality wise, as they develop their ability to express. and the explanation of the obvious condition of variety and apparent chaos in which these lives are spent. So many changes that they appear unstable and chaotic. Gemini is involved. Because let instability do its work. So, what are we in right now? Have we had a similar personality ray for a while? The same personality ray for a while, or are we in the midst of constant change? We can't necessarily say that last life, my personality was this ray. In the life before, it was this ray. It might be the same, or it might be like a rising sign. Interestingly, there might be even 9 consecutive lives on a particular rising sign. We have to be able to study these matters directly, otherwise we just won't know. We just won't know. But DK has given enough hints so that we can infer intelligently. Thank goodness for that. You know, I guess all I can do is use my own example. I think I was born with a fourth-ray personality, which is the personality array of my previous life, and maybe of a life prior to that. You know, I've been in the arts now for quite a while. And it just feels like that's very, very ingrained, although maybe things are changing now. So we just don't know how many lives in a row may be needed. You know, the angel of the presence has to evaluate what is needed, what medicine is needed here, what energy is needed to bring a condition of balance into the life at certain stages of evolution. When the discord has been corrected, you know, which may take the same ray that you had before and just kind of change the frequency, and when the vibration becomes steady and is not subject to change, then the needed work is done. I mean, if there's all that instability, then we don't, you know, we're not as reliable a worker. We cannot be used, how does he say, you're a hazard. You know, you're regarded as a hazard until you've passed the experience in the desert where you've met 3 temptations, maybe not in quite the same way as the Christ met them out there. But on your own level, you've met the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, and thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Man does not live by bread alone. And one other. I always forget that. Anyway, the bread alone is the flesh temptation. And thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, I think, is the devil rejection. And, well, you know, let's see. There are three. So we can say, you know, maybe, you know, that's something we should have in mind. What are those 3 temptations which the Christ answered without any wordy disquisitions? Yes. And let's see here. Man does not live by bread alone. And maybe the other two will be there as well. It would be nice if they were. And but maybe not. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So 4:4, Matthew 4:5. Let's see. And thou shalt not, let's see, three answers. Let's see. Three answers. For the three temptations in the desert. I hope I haven't spelled dessert. Let's see what we got. So, in the Bible, and let's see. No pages were found. Oh. Well, unfortunately, I can't remember. Let's see. The three temptations. Maybe we'll know something there. The three temptations. And no pages found. So I'll do it a little differently. And, you know, maybe you can see what I'm trying to do here. I'm kind of caught. I'm caught in my usual demand for research. Okay, let's try this. The three temptations of Jesus. Well, we should be able to get that. Okay. And he is being tempted, but you know, in a way, he's reenacting all this. He was long ago, he overcame this. Satan's temptation of Jesus. The Bible says he took him to a high place and said, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, then the flesh and the devil, and said to him, all things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, get you hence, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So that's one. And then the thou shalt, man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word that cometh out of the mouth of God. And then finally, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Some of this may, you know, look a little bit childish, but we all go through it. We all go through it in the desert. And if it was Jesus there, maybe a combination of the two, one suspects it was the Christ because the baptism had passed, you see. So screen sharing has stopped. And we don't want that. So we'll continue with our screen sharing. All right. Now it's going again. So when discord has been corrected, and when the vibration becomes steady and is not subject to change, you know, we might call it here in the words of Patanjali, the constant modifications of the versatile psychic nature, subtle nature. So both the emotions and the mind. So when all of that has ceased, as it must cease, because otherwise we will have distortion all the time, then the needed work is done. So that one about the world, you know, fall down and worship me, and Jesus replies, or Christ replies, that it's written that we worship only the Lord our God. Then man shall not live by bread alone, but by the very word that cometh out of the mouth of God. And then thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt, having to do with the pride. Okay, so then with stability, the needed work is done. How stable are we? What throws us off? How frequently do we vary and vacillate and modify so that the truth cannot come through? The ego can call in again his forces prior to continuing the work of perfecting the causal body and carry to perfect accuracy and clarity of tone the desired chord. So, you know, in a way, then one will hear that which must be achieved in the coming life or in incarnation. Interesting. So at least you see ahead the reason for it all and why you have to encounter what you do encounter in that next incarnation. It will be very, very interesting one day to study at least some of the more recent incarnations, if you can stand it. Alice Bailey never really wanted to do that too much. She kind of knew what she would see. And all of us should not exaggerate with the idea that we will see something wonderful in the past when we have not managed to see something wonderful in the present. You know, all those Cleopatras and Julius Caesars running around probably were much more ordinary. See then the necessity of adapting the method of meditation to the need of the personality, and the synchronizing it at the same time with the first factor involving the ray of the ego. So we cannot discount the importance of the personality ray to be chosen on the basis of either deficiency or ill attunement. It's missing or it's not in tune. And always there's a next step to bring out greater beauty and greater fullness. Always. Okay, now he's going to give us a practical illustration here, and I always find this one really interesting because it, you know, it's so much applies to the people that have been educated on the sixth ray of idealism and even the second ray of idealism, as he often discusses it. It's a higher and broader, wider and more inclusive idealism, but it is idealism. Let me illustrate, if in any way I can elucidate the matter. Accuracy of comprehension is desired. So this made an impression on me, and maybe it will on you. We will assume that the ray of the ego is that the egoic ray of A, the person, is that of the love wisdom ray, whilst the ray of his lower self is that of the fifth or ray of concrete knowledge. Maybe we know some people like this. There were in his group a few that had the 2-5. Actually, it turned out that the brother of Dale Carnegie, you know, how to win friends and influence people, all that, he was in DK's group, and he was a 2-5. And there was another woman who was a 2-5. I don't know, were there more, but at least a couple. A, in past lives, has demonstrated love and has made real progress in the method of the synthetic ray, that of expansion. You remember how we were talking about how to destroy a causal body. A causal body through expansion and inclusion. He loves much and expands with fair facility his consciousness to include a just part of his environing circumstances. You know, we read about the entire entourage is being included and so forth. But though of average intelligence, he lacks the stabilizing vibration of the fifth ray. He has not that concentration that forces results, and he needs the basic foundation of facts before he can wisely and safely proceed much further. So here is the need for our subject, whom the Tibetan is calling by the name A. Okay. So he loves, but he needs something more. And he has, at the moment, DK says, the fifth ray personality, and we'll see how he got that. The wise teacher, in apprehending this necessity, uses the method of expansion inherent in the egoic ray and applies it to the expansion of the mental body. In other words, the soul ray that pertains to the higher mental field is applied to the lower mental field. And by a wisely adjudicated, filled with right judgment, a wisely adjudicated method, he will apply the faculty of expansion. He will apply the faculty of expansion hitherto used only to include others through love, to the one-pointed effort likewise to expand for the purpose of apprehending knowledge. It'll be a combination of the second ray and the fifth ray. The apprehension of knowledge, well, let's get this. So, the apprehension of knowledge is here related to the fifth ray. By a wisely adjudicated method, he will apply the faculty of expansion hitherto used only to include others through love, to the one-pointed effort likewise. One-pointed, this suggests the fifth ray, to expand for the purpose of apprehending knowledge. When this is done, every effort of the personal life may, apparently in one particular incarnation, be given to the acquirement of scientific position and to the development of the mind. Well, you know, we don't have the whole picture, do we? And so we tend to judge based upon an inadequately narrow point of view. We say, oh, that person's only thinking about knowledge only and scientific position and so forth. Intellectual progress may seem to paramount, may seem of too paramount importance to the uninstructed onlooker. That's the thing. We just don't know the past. We don't know the context. Yet, after all, the work proceeds as desired by the inner guide, and only the life succeeding, following, will demonstrate the wisdom of the egoic choice. And what is that choice? In this case, the choice of having instituted a fifth ray as the ruler of the personality. But, of course, it is the fifth ray to which second ray pressure, in this case, is applied. Now, you know, many of you are second ray souls, and have you felt that expansive, inclusive pressure regarding whatever you may have hypothesized to be your personality ray? It takes a little meditation to perhaps see if that has been the case. I know in my own case, I was never able to leave the fourth ray personality be what it was. And, you know, even though four and two are on the same line, I was really fighting a battle, a recapitulatory battle, I believe, between expression and the arts. And expression in the field of learning and teaching esotericism. And it was painful and confusing. But I think by the time I was had my first Saturn return, although I could continue with the momentum of the arts, the main point became the wisdom teaching. So I'm sure I gave many wisdom teaching lectures to artists that I supervised who could have cared less. Anyway. This shows you kind of how it works. The soul, whatever aspect of the soul, is doing the choosing along with the man himself. That projection of the monad within the causal body decides, fifth ray missing. It's not balancing. It's not factual. It's not stable. My mind needs to be more factual, more stable. So let's arrange a fifth ray personality, and then let's apply the pressure of the second ray soul to it. You can kind of imagine if the personality is the sixth ray, yes, I'm devoted, but let's widen out that devotion. You can go with every ray, you know. First ray personality, yes, I'm willful, but let's make that will assuredly express love, wisdom, and not just brute force, not just the forcing quality. Ray three, yes, I'm very busy and very interested in this and that, and I'm very curious and full of thought, but let us cease so much activity so that accumulation can become more inclusion, if I may say. We remember how we've been discussing the difference between absorption, accumulation for the third ray, a little here, a little there, like, you know, picking many things and accumulating them, and the kind of inclusiveness and expansion of the second ray. And of course, if the personality is the fourth ray, then let's go for the harmony side rather than just the conflict side. Let us find the tactful way of resolving these conflicts. I think, you know, that particular ashram has just about every sub-ashram taken care of. They have been emerging. And, you know, if the ray is the seventh ray, there might be, of the personality, might be a tendency towards the healing arts, but let's not be too entirely orthodox. Let's use our intuition as well. And let's not, you know, as that famous nurse on the seventh ray ground everybody in the iron mill of routine, as DK describes it, the iron mill of routine, let's have a better bedside manner, so to speak. And sort of include a lot of empathy along with the kind of organized application of ameliorative methods, which does lead to this healing on the more orthodox seventh ray. So we choose a ray where there may be a deficiency or a lack of attunement, but it's got to accept the application of the soul ray to its usual functioning. Intellectual expansion by the combination of second ray methods with fifth ray application will be achieved. Have I made the matter clear? I write for clarity, for this question of meditation is of much vital importance to many. So, you know, can you hearken back to the time when you were sounding the note? And trying to see what you needed for a personality ray. I seem to be able to hearken back, and I carried out some kind of a continuation along the fourth ray line. There was unfinished business along the fourth ray line, and I had to take what had been developed of expression along that line, mostly in the field of vocal music and madrigalization and, you know, all kinds of things that fit with the Renaissance. And I had to apply it to secondary objectives, which I think finally I managed to do by composing oratorios on astrological themes and stage works and rituals along the fourth ray line, aligned with the teaching, the promulgation of the wisdom. So maybe that's been something of a success, but every one of us can say, how have I, if we get our soul, our personality ray, if we kind of know what it is, how have I managed to further blend the soul ray with that personality ray and apply the pressure. They all have pressure. All soul rays have pressure. Apply the pressure of my soul ray to the personality ray in such a way that increasingly that personality ray becomes a subray of the soul ray instead of an opponent or somehow a clashing point of tension. I know for myself, I've been through the clash for years. And then gradually, some kind of merging began to take place, and maybe you'll find that in your own case, so that the expected warfare between the personality and the soul need not continue in this incarnation forever. But I think going through the experience it's important. And identifying the experience when it comes along and knowing what it is. I think in the throes of the agony of choice, it was sometimes hard to be clear. But eventually I saw that the soul was guiding, and along with Shakespeare, one had to say that there is a destiny which shapes men's ends, rough-hew them how we will. So we may struggle as a personality and mislead ourselves and get off into secondary paths, but eventually the soul guidance will turn us in the right direction. I've just noticed that I've been wearing headphones, but it wasn't plugged in. I'm just assuming that somehow this has all recorded. I sure hope so. So it will therefore be clear to you on careful perusal, close examination, that as one knows more, one judges less. We just don't know all of the variables involved, and we may judge as imbalance and fanaticism something that is really compensating for an imbalance and creating through concentrated effort a better balance. A person may be well developed on the love side, yet in some particular incarnation that side may lie in abeyance and the line of development most apparently be purely intellectual. Well, this is the one we're kind of talking about now, because without that focus on intellectuality, there would be an insufficient rounding out and a type of quality that needs to be in the soul or the causal body or the egoic lotus would not be incorporated. So if we know more, we judge less. Reservation of opinion is the best line for the wise onlooker to take, for he has not yet the inner vision which sees the color, nor the occult hearing that recognizes the note. Well, we'll certainly have to agree with Master DK on that point, won't we? And it does give us that caution, that restraint, that tendency to restrain ourselves instead of rushing to judgment. There are certain rays that do rush to judgment. Maybe the second ray is not one such. it tends to ponder over things. But if you have a strong sixth ray and or the judgmentalism of the seventh ray or the eagerness of the first ray, you may rush to judgment. Well, we're on page 22 and looks like a new section is coming up here. And I think, you know, given the hour that and the need for tomorrow's work. That it's best to live another day. No good. So let's make that. There we go. So we'll, you know, we're on page 22, and we'll go back, and this is number 7. I think I've got it finally straightened out. I am grateful for my helpers on this matter. because, you know, it's so easy to make a mistake in this complexity. So, 22. And indeed, we are on the 22nd of July. So we go on, maybe June is a good month for communicating. Looks kind of like DK having so much Gemini in his nature and Alice Bailey being so strongly Gemini that they were making hay while the sun shines with these Gemini letters. So program 6 was a program... This is program 7, and it took us to 19, and then 22. And the next thing will be program 8, which will take us from 22 to X whatever, and it'll be done on the XX of July, which I hope is tomorrow. Right. So, friends, lots of love, many blessings, great stuff to study together, you know. And we can gradually develop the inner vision that sees the color and the occult hearing that recognizes the note. We'll want to develop those things before we judge about how people are directing their energy. Who is the fanatic? Is imbalance being created by the apparent fanaticism, or is rebalancing being created by the apparent fanaticism? So this is going to be program number 8. Okay, friends, that's just an hour program this time. It will have to do. And we stop recording.